Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
Three employees and two work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Hairy knees.
All right.
Okay, do we have any listener feedback?
Actually, yes, we do.
All right.
The first bit was your podcast, Envy. Your most recent episodes didn't have this or that. Is that bit been retired? Thanks, Bill.
Which episode didn't have
Bill?
That? We didn't have this or that at the end of the Tessa Elena episode.
No, we did.
No, we didn't.
Oh, you're right. We didn't. Yeah. You cut it.
Yeah, I ended up having to cut it.
Sad times.
And Matt LaBelle didn't have this or that on that one. That was over the air.
So it's not being retired.
No, it's not being retired. We had no intention of retiring. We always do it, and we have guests.
Somehow we always find new this or that topics.
All right. So the second the feedback we got was, Dear Podcast Envy, one of your recent pods, you did your three P's in a pod thing, and you talked about what clothes you wear.
Yeah.
This is the riveting content I look forward to every episode.
Yes.
No way.
And they signed it Z's.
Yeah.
Connor.
All right.
They weren't a fan.
No, they didn't think the talking about our outfits was something that they cared to know about us, I guess.
Hey, I was short and sweet on mine.
You were.
I was exactly what I'm wearing.
Yep.
And I think it's probably what I'm wearing right now. So,
you know what? I bet you Connor is so happy we're talking about what we wear again right now.
That's okay. Thanks, Connor.
This is Podcast Envy.
Who wears short shorts?
I wear short shorts.
Well, our guest tonight, we have a very special guest in the house tonight. We're doing one of our super special interview pods. He has 25 years experience playing in cities ranging from Blacksburg, Virginia, Richmond, Virginia, and D.C., the nation's capital. He's based out of Northern Virginia. He plays the guitar. He sings all the tunes from the 70s to today. You can catch him Saturday, May 29th at Heritage Brewing in Manassas, or Friday, May 23rd at Solus Brewing in Sterling. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Kerry O'Connor.
Yeah!
There it is. Sorry.
Yeah, we got it.
Very enthusiastic in the back on that.
Welcome to the show, Kerry.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here.
Really excited to be here.
That's awesome. So let's start from the beginning, shall we?
Love it.
The place where we'd like to start.
Where were you conceived?
Do you hail from Virginia originally?
Near Petersburg.
Near Petersburg.
So Dinwiddie County, kind of a rural area, but most people don't know where that is, so I always say.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you grow up, was music something that came to you immediately as growing up, or is that something that you picked up in high school, after school?
Music in general, I think, came from, I'm recently learning that not everybody listened to music the same way that I did. So as far back as I can remember, I remember listening like to the radio and like songs would be meaningful to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like just music was meaningful to me. And it wasn't necessarily background music. I was like listening to stuff and listening to, you know, patterns and that kind of thing. So I kind of recently realized that everybody didn't look at it that way.
Yeah. You
know? I had favorite songs like as far back as I can remember, and most people didn't.
Yeah.
You know, so there was definitely the piece of that was part of me.
Very cool. So did you learn an instrument from middle school? Like, did you play in the band, or did you have a band when you were in high school? Or
I didn't. So I started playing guitar because my mom bought my dad a guitar because he wanted to learn to play, and he never really learned to play it.
Mm.
And so this guitar was under the bed in the spare room. And it would come out every now and then when, like, my mom was cleaning or something, and I'd open it up and
gotta dust the guitar.
Yeah, there was an attraction to it that I don't know what it was, but like I was really into it. So at some point I was like, I want to learn to play guitar. And my mom had played piano a little bit, and she said, "That's fine, but you should learn to play piano first." And so I started playing piano, and I played for like 6 or 7 years, something like that. And I kind of forgot about the guitar piece of it. And then as a freshman in high school, I was like, oh, by the way, like the deal was I was going to play piano and then I'm going to play guitar.
Yeah.
I was like, can we do that?
Mom took the dessert and swapped it with broccoli.
Exactly. Which turned out to be a complete blessing in disguise. It was fantastic, because even though I like playing piano, but I'm not great at it, and it wasn't really my thing. But there was so much about piano that I was able to translate over to and it helped. So that was kind of how it started for me.
So was this like a classical training situation? Were you learning how to read sheet music and music theory and all that stuff?
Well, I'll say that I had a fantastic piano teacher, and who was very heavy in all of that. I never really learned how to read music. It was something that was very
difficult. A lot by ear.
Yeah, it was very difficult for me. And so what I would end up doing is I'd listen to him play the song, and then I'd go home and I'd just try to mimic whatever he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that got me in trouble.
Yeah, and it got me in trouble too, honestly, because I'd come back and I'd play something that kind of made sense, but it wasn't what it was supposed to be.
Yep. Still haunts you guys, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Big time. And so... What ended up happening with me was I got really good at music theory, at least for that age. I mean, now I'm not great at it, but at least for that age, I was pretty good at music theory. And so my theory surpassed my playing ability.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't into practicing as much as I should have been.
Was this one of those that can't do teach? Did you end up becoming a teacher?
I thought about it for a hot second, but I never.
No.
Yeah. So it was. I remember going to high school as freshman, and I want to play guitar now. And so we went. She took me to one of the music shops in town, and they had guitar teachers there, and she immediately made me buy like a bunch of books mm-hmm. and all this stuff.
If you're going to do it, you're going to do it the right way. Yeah, we're going to make it boring.
Right. Yeah. All right, fine. You know, whatever. And so she's like, do page whatever and bring it back next week and fill out. I'm like, okay. So I took it home and I looked at it and I was like, how to do this? I did the entire book. Like, I was like, I know how to do all of this. Like, it's not a big deal. And I took it back and I was like, I know this. Like, can we get to the guitar part,
cool
the,
stuff. When do I get to put the slash hat on and wear sunglasses?
Yeah, enough of these coloring books.
Yeah,
exactly. And she just looked at it. She's like, okay, and like almost didn't even acknowledge it. I was like, okay, that's like we're done with it. And so we went to the other music shop, which was the first one was more like the band student at school and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And the second one was more like, the guitar center, guitar heavy kind of place. So the guy, like, he like writes out like all the notes on the fretboard, which is great. And then he asked me, he's like, well, what song do you want to learn to play? I don't know. Like, so the Black Album had just come out. So I was like, Enter Sandman, let's show me how to play that.
Nice. Right.
I was like, show me how to play that. And he's like, oh, cool. And so he like, he started showing me how to play it and he kind of wrote it out. And I was like, okay, well, I'm kind of learning something here. Like, and I go back another, you know, and it's like, okay, what do you want to learn this week? Like, I don't
how,
know.
How was he writing it out? Was he just writing the notes?
Just like tab.
A
like,
tab. Okay.
Yeah. Like it wasn't.
Was it full out writing sheets of music
for you? No. Yeah. Nothing like that. And like, okay. He's like, what do you want to learn this week? And I came up with something. Okay. Well, this is how you play it. And so every, I did like three lessons with him and every week was just like, what do you want to learn this week? Like, I don't know, man. Like,
and how were you
teach me?
30s, right. Early 30s at this point?
Him?
You. No,
me?
Just kidding.
No. No, I'm still a freshman. And I was like, okay, this isn't going anywhere either. Like, okay, that's great. And so, I don't know. I just made a decision at that point that, like, this is not working for me. So, stopped, started finding songs that I knew how to. I would try and learn to play, and I just went from there.
Yeah.
So I took 5 lessons between 2 different teachers, guitar, and I was done with that.
Yeah.
Did you pick anything up off of YouTube? Was that ever a thing?
Later, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm an old fart, so YouTube was not around for a lot of it. So it's like, internet was there. There was tablature that you could download from the internet. And which was mostly wrong, but
you had to fix it. Even today, you still have to. It's all user based.
Ultimate Guitar Tab Archive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That kind of stuff.
We'll look it up. We'll start practicing. We'll look up something and see how easy it is to add to our set list. And I'm sitting there trying to like translate stuff into whatever key we're playing it in. And I'm like, these are all wrong. I was like, we'll come back to this, guys.
Yeah.
You know, I got to translate it and we'll figure it out.
Yep. It's horrible. And, but a lot of times it would get you in the ballpark.
Sure.
And that's what I was really looking
for. And if
for.
You can play by ear, you can figure it out.
Right. So like I knew like that note's wrong. The way that this being here, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
But the first chord is correct. Second chord is wrong. I can figure out the second chord. So
yeah,
that's where that helped. But now with YouTube, it's like it cuts that in half too. Because even then it's like a lot of people are playing things wrong, but it gets you to that ballpark faster. So that's how I've been looking at stuff.
Yeah, one thing about YouTube that's good and also bad is getting into the music theory of it all. Like, have you ever watched those guys that just kind of break down the music theory of a song and like they'll like show you how the fifths, the thirds, and the you know all those types of things come into play. Like one of my favorite breakdowns is the Thomas the Tank Engine song breakdown because it's such an interesting and unique song. Like it jumps keys. It's like, and the way that it jumps keys is it's got this one note that bridges the gap, you know, and it's just really interesting and cool. So it's definitely a rabbit hole situation on YouTube.
It is. And it's also really interesting to see people's interpretations of songs.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, interpretation is not great, but sometimes people do something that's kind of unique and so they add a little bit something to it.
Yeah.
And then you see that and it's like, well, I can add a little bit to that as well.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
And you're just kind of building on it. So you do end up going down a rabbit hole sometimes, but it's really, I enjoy doing that kind of thing. Just to kind of what everybody's doing.
Yeah, totally.
So did you start playing immediately? Like you know, from high school or after high school, you started playing gigs around the area, or when did that come into play?
That came in way later. In high school, there weren't a ton of musicians around. There was a few, I didn't really get in with them. I did play a talent show. I jumped in with with another band that was playing that was kind of, looking back on it, it was pretty arrogant to, like, I heard them practicing and I was like, I can do this. Like,
hey man,
I'm in. And
like, I can make you sound better.
Yeah. It was like, that happened like Thursday and the show was like Friday.
Oh,
and
man.
Like, and like, next thing you know, I'm like headlining the thing on Friday.
Here's Enter
That's
Sandman.
Actually kind of awesome. You were like, hey guys, I'm the new front man.
Yeah. It kind of, they were practicing like in a hallway in the high school. Mm-hmm. And I go and I'm listening to Marilyn Manson's song, the big one in the 90s. I'm blanking on the
name. Beautiful People.
Sweet Dreams.
Sweet Dreams. That was
the cover?
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I thought it was that, but I thought we were talking about
Beautiful People. Okay. A song too, though.
Yeah. So they were playing that. And then the other song that happened to be out was Bush's Machine Head.
A Machine Head.
And I started playing
it is
that.
A little machine.
And all of a sudden they're like, oh, wow. Like this guy knows how to play this song. And
oh, nice.
So we ended up doing the talent show where they started with Sweet Dreams and we ended with Machine Head. And we won nothing. Like it wasn't great or anything, but
you won street cred.
It was like so cool to do this. And then like we never did anything else again. Like I don't know where that went.
Did they have like a band name or anything?
Yes.
What was it? I can't wait to hear it.
So
was it Machine Head?
No. This shows you how naive I was at this time. So,
Are we gonna bleep it out?
The band name was I came from the South. The name was Dixie Wrecked.
I get it.
How do you spell that last?
Say it, hey Brian, say
how
it
you spell
fast.
That last word.
Say it fast, Brian.
And I didn't say it. I didn't say it fast, and I didn't realize it until they announced us.
Yeah,
and they're like, "And here coming up next is
Michael
Wrecked.
Hunt."
And I was like, "Yeah." Oh my God, I did not get that.
Carrie's like, I didn't sign up for this.
You're like, guys, we didn't talk about this.
We're no longer called that. We're called Special K. I'm in the band. We're Special K.
Like Dixie Chicks. We're just called Wrecked, okay?
Yeah. Yes. I was like, I did not get that at all.
That's
I don't
a great
care.
Story.
Call us whatever. Like, whatever. I don't care.
That's great.
And then they said it, and I was like, oh my God.
Son of a
seriously.
Yeah. Well, it was either that or Plunger. So, man, it's each their own.
So,
why did a big Plunger into this? So,
you guys only that's rose to fame?
That was it.
For one show?
I was literally with these guys for like one show, and which was unfortunate because I thought we sounded really great.
Right.
I really didn't start doing the gigging thing until college.
Can I tell you before we get into that, we have a special treat for you.
All right.
We actually invited your bandmates. They're behind this curtain.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
We're going to invite them in. Yeah.
This is your
man,
life.
If you track them down, like, kudos for you.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
There's Dick and there's the other guy.
They're now called they're now called Extend. Anyway.
They're called the Blue Pill Boys.
Exactly.
It's like the Blue Man Group, but
yeah, exactly.
Just more pills involved.
You have to evolve over time.
That's right. Like, you can't just keep doing the same shit over
instead
and over again.
Instead of hard rock, they play rock hard.
There it is.
Thank you.
That was good. That was worth the wait.
Thank you. That's the gift that keeps on giving.
So you went to Virginia Tech?
I did. And what ended up with me gigging during Virginia Tech while I was at, my neighbor, he also played guitar, and we would get together and jam like all the time. And so I remember there was my good friend Andrew. There was one particular afternoon where we were just playing a song, and we'd have been playing this like a while. And then that time we just like nailed it. Like it was, wow, like, that sounded really good.
Mm-hmm. How many beers in were you?
probably,
God, man, we sound amazing. We should do this again every day.
Yeah, no, probably a couple.
Right.
But it was like, yeah, we were like that worked out really well. Like, what other songs can we do? And so we started working on kind of a set list. trying to 30-ish songs. And so we got to a point where, like, we're all right, let's do this for real. Let's go out and do this. And we played at a random club in Blacksburg. The guy was like, "What do you want to charge tonight?" I don't know. Like, I would pay people to come and see me. Like, yeah.
Can I just get a sandwich and a beer?
Like, right? I don't know. And I was like, I don't know, a dollar. Like it was nothing. Like, I didn't care. So we rented. I remember we had to rent our own equipment, and we went down to the place, and it's like, "Do you want the small speakers or the big speakers?" And we're like, "Clearly the big speakers."
Oh yeah. We're expecting a lot of people. Clearly. It's a big space.
Hell yeah.
And it was a really fun night. And there happened to be another one of the bar owners was there that night, and they were like, "Look, we do music too. Do you guys want to play?" And so we played for like a year. At the other place.
How often?
Like once a week. Like,
that's good.
Once every other week, like somewhere in between there, and which was a lot of fun. And it was more just fun. And
for a dollar, they're like, "Yeah, you play whatever you want." So was that Chris?
Yeah, I was the same question I was going to ask. Was this before or after Chris?
this was before Chris.
Okay.
So Tim's brother.
Yep. Chris knows.
There was life before Chris.
There was.
Impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, Chris was, I met Chris because he was dating his now wife, Lisa at the time. And we talked about, he plays guitar, I play guitar. So he comes over New Year's Eve one year, and I was like, "Well, you want to come down and see my guitars?" "Sure." So I take him downstairs. Like, I got a little collection, like nothing. And let's play a song. So he grabs a guitar, I grab a guitar, we start playing a song. And it turns out, like, we knew a lot of the same songs.
Yeah.
And it's like, "Well, do you know this?" It's like, "Yeah." And played it. And
is it like all Metallica?
No. It's way, like, I mean, songs I like, but like way lamer than that. Like Hootie and
ooh,
and, you know.
That's our intro song.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, like, that's what I do. And so we played, I don't know, we went downstairs. Like, right when they came over, I was like, come downstairs, let's play a song. You know, it was like 8:30, 9 o'clock on New Year's. Like, midnight hadn't happened, far away. So, you know, one song leads to the next song, and leads to the next song. Next thing you know, everybody that was at our party was downstairs, listening to
us.
That's
awesome.
We played literally 3 hours plus off of songs off the top of our heads.
Wow. Did anybody bring you a sandwich or a beer?
Oh yeah, like everybody was, and all of a sudden it was like 5 to midnight, and it was like, we should like turn on the ball drop or something.
Right.
Like,
right.
And so
just play Wonderwall.
Yeah.
Close it out.
So that was really cool. Like we just like, we hadn't planned on doing that. And then we just ended up playing the whole night, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We ended up playing a gig together at Paradise Springs, which I hadn't at that point. I had it years since I played a gig, but I've been wanting to play a gig for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that, and that sounded really great. And I mean, it was kind of the springboard for like what I'm doing right now, to be perfectly honest. It was really great. Just to kind of like connect with somebody on a musical level like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you played mostly locally? Have you traveled outside of the area to play at some different places?
Not a lot.
You haven't gone back to Blacksburg to hit the hometown?
I am going back for the Metallica concert in Blacksburg.
There you go.
And I thought about, I was like, I know Metallica. Like, I didn't expect that to be a thing.
You can't get away that easy. Okay.
Well, you did play one time in New Orleans, right? At the Carey's Irish Pub.
Ooh.
Man, you guys did your research, didn't you?
Do you own that place or what?
That was what did you sing there when you were there?
I was down there for a work trip.
Uh-huh.
And me and my coworker
just get brought your guitar.
Drinks, no, drinks one beer, finds a guitar, starts playing music.
Exactly. Yeah. And we're walking, and I knew about this bar because I'd been there years ago, and we happened to be walking by it. It's called the Carey Irish Pub, spelled the same way as I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Well, we gotta go back in. I gotta get a beer." there, right?
Yeah.
So we go in and it's like open mic night. And all right, I had a beer, like I need to play a song here. Like I have to.
Yeah.
So far we're tracking.
Yeah. So, you know, I sign up and, you know, I have no idea what I played. No clue.
Were they doing like a live karaoke thing?
No, it was just like, you know, you play, here's a guitar. Like,
okay,
get up and do something. And
just had a guitar that was tuned on the wall.
Yeah. So I played something. I don't know what it was. And my coworker took a couple pictures of me and then
the rest is history.
Look at the rest is history. So I played at the Kerry Irish pub, but nothing real.
Did you show them your ID and they give you any free beers or anything?
I did, and they didn't.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I was like, are you serious? Like,
disappointing.
This is my name. Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah, pay up, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rude.
That's why I never played at Timmy's bar either. Ugh. You know, I was getting, wanted free drinks out of it.
You mean your basement?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Such a ripoff. You paid all that money for that bar. And
I know. Ugh. I know. Still got to pay for
a free
it.
Drink.
I know. So, you know, it was funny. I definitely did research, right? So that's how I kind of found that out. But what's funny is in my research, I found that you actually, you and your wife volunteered at a brewery for Oktoberfest, I believe. And that was in 2014 at Mad Fox Brewery. Brian, do you remember Mad Fox?
Yep.
We played for their anniversary. You want to tell us?
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Story.
Really?
Yeah, we played for... Ooh,
so
go
that,
ahead,
that was a period... Well, I'll just tell part of it and then you can take over. But that was during a period where we were so impressed with ourselves getting into new places. Right?
We're like, doing great. So five.
We were literally dying to get into so many different venues. I don't even remember how we got connected to play there.
It was a guy I used to work with. Okay. At the country club that was
did he know
the manager
he didn't tell
over
us
there.
Was this just well, a big inside joke?
It was kind of weird because he was the manager or the general
was he
manager
the guy with the glasses?
Or whatever. No.
Oh, okay, different guy.
And I expected to see him there.
Yeah.
And because it's the anniversary party and he wasn't there.
He's on his way to the Cayman Islands. Right? He's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Well, and it turns out, so what was it, like their 10-year anniversary or something?
Yeah.
It was some anniversary.
They were celebrating an anniversary. And they had a cake,
yep.
And they came up to make an announcement. They had us stop playing music so that they can come up and make the announcement for the anniversary. And that was the first half, was the cake is over here, and we're so glad that everybody was able to join us.
Yeah.
And the second half was,
we will be closing our doors tonight.
Today. Yes. After we had been so excited on the microphone and said multiple times, yeah, can't wait to be back here.
Yeah.
Blow my freaking brains out.
And we still and this was right before our last set. We still had a whole set to play.
Yep.
So it was like,
yep,
all right.
All the air sucked out of the room.
Here's Wonderwall.
And I have pictures of us like really excited to be on the little stage they had over there.
We're tagging them in our socials. Yep. Like, hey, check it out.
Can't
we got a
back.
Class.
Yep. Can I tell you an even sadder story?
Oh, right.
You broke the glass.
Yep.
Dang.
It pulled it right out of the dishwasher and it slipped. This was years ago.
I mean, this sounds like it's happened yesterday.
No, exactly. I still feel it. I still think about that stuff.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Ugh, sad times.
I still have mine. Yeah. But anyway, I saw that.
Where
and I was
it
like,
exactly?
It's in my cupboard.
Timmy's bar.
Are we having a get together at your house next time?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, I'll break it out for you.
No, that was our spot for a long time.
Yeah.
And because they had opened right around when we moved to the area.
So before you met with my brother, did you play any solo stuff? So there was nothing prior
before
to my
guys
brother.
Became best friends.
And then, so there was nothing really. And then after you guys kind of linked up, then you guys started playing together or?
Yeah. I had not done any solo stuff. I had played with my friend Andrew at Virginia Tech for a long time. And then it was a little kind of inconceivable for me to like play by myself. Like, mm-hmm. don't know, like, how'd you do that? And so when I met Chris, I was like, oh, like we could do some stuff. Like, this would be great. And so we, you know, we did that very first gig at Paradise Springs. Main Street Pub, like, I think you guys were playing. Mm. And he let me get up and play a song with him that one time, which was a lot of fun. And so when I thought about doing this, I was like, sure, let's call Chris, like, see what he's doing. And so he played a bunch of other gigs with me. He's super busy.
Yeah.
And so he's not always available to play stuff. And so that's why I was like, oh, maybe I can do a set by myself, you know? And it turns out, like, when I actually started doing this, my first gig was by myself, which was crazy. Turned out okay. They didn't kick me out.
So. Right. That's good. They paid you, right?
They paid me, and it worked out. So
that's now grown into kind of your own solo stuff now. So what places have you been playing at?
That first one was at a place called Endhart Winery, which is out in Percival. And the deal was, so when I was trying to, like, find places to go, I just started blanketing, emailing everybody. And they wrote back and they said, yeah, we're thinking about doing music as a thing. So come out and do a gig, see how it goes. I did one. Yeah, that sounds good. Why don't you come back, like, once a month? Right off the bat.
Nice.
I had a resident. Like,
look at you.
Like, what
watch
the hell?
Out Las Vegas.
Yeah. Like well, like, where did that come from? And then I had a bunch of other gigs set up. Many of them were with Chris. And then Endhart. So I was that first year, like, that was sort of the in between. And then unfortunately, Endhart decided that they didn't really want to make music part of their model.
Ooh.
They tried it. Oh, yeah, it's okay.
You ruined it.
I know.
So what were some of the artists besides Metallica that inspired you or were part of your childhood that kind of informed your music view?
So, I mean, growing up, like, I was really young, probably to this day, I guess, my parents listened to the oldies tape.
Yeah.
And that's all that was ever on the radio. I never thought of listening to anything else of what I listened to. And as it turns out, I think that was probably one of the best, like, musical educations that you could get. Because you're talking about the history of rock and roll between the mid-50s, early to mid-70s.
Yeah.
And the oldies station is just playing, like, the best from all of that. So you've got Elvis. You've got the Stones. You've got Motown. Like, all of that stuff is in there. And so I didn't know it at the time. I liked it. I listened to it, but it was kind of training me, like, this is what a song, this is how you construct a song.
Yeah.
And different versions of how you would do that. And so that when I actually did start playing songs, I kind of knew where the song was going. There's a pattern and I was able to follow it.
Yeah.
So that was huge. Then, you know, specific stuff. Sure. Metallica was a big one. And it wasn't because I think a lot of people listen to Metallica, like, they're very heavy and they're, like, you know, angry. And I'm really into that. Metallica is actually, a lot of their songs are very melodic and very rhythmic.
Yeah.
And that's what I was attracted to. It wasn't the thrash metal that they do. They do a lot of that kind of stuff as well. That wasn't really into big for me, but it was like Enter Sandman is a very melodic song. Very heavy.
Yeah,
Master of Puppets.
Yeah.
Like, there's big pieces to that, that they're well constructed songs.
Yeah.
So I like that kind of thing about them. I was into, like, Guns N' Roses. I was into, like, Beach Boys, like, before I even knew that they were, like, the American Beatles kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know? I was into that kind of thing. Later on, I got into Van Halen. I got into Dave Matthews, Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Love Steve.
Turns out, again, like, way later that I started to realize, like, what the commonality there was was there was a rhythmic element to all of the that I was really into. Stevie Ray Vaughan especially, like, it's blues, but it's rhythm as well. Like, you don't you try and play the notes, but half that song is actually the way he's playing it.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So that's the kind of stuff that really influenced me.
If somebody has never been to one of your shows and shows up at one of these bars and sees on the schedule that you're playing that night, what can they expect to hear?
Yeah.
Somebody trying really hard.
A little
bit. Yeah.
I mean, I'm playing stuff mostly probably from the 90s, maybe early 2000s. Bar music, popular music, stuff that you're going to probably heard on the radio. I'm not playing a lot of deep cuts. There's a couple of stuff I throw in there occasionally that's you might not have heard, but it's in that style.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not venturing very far off the reservation when that, as far as that's concerned. I'm always looking for more songs that I can play in that genre, because it's really more important to me that people that are listening, that are enjoying it.
Yeah.
And I just go straight to the hits and but it's also the hits that I like, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, there's, it's not necessarily the stuff. I mean, there's lots of popular songs out there, but I'm generally sticking to the stuff that I really like.
Cool.
What is your favorite part about your relationship with Chris?
Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah. Oh, I got half a dozen weird questions to ask you. That's just one.
The long walks on the beach.
Do you guys go out on boat rides together?
You're part of a boat club. How does that work out?
We canceled it when Chris wanted to come out.
No, that makes sense.
He only said that on air because he doesn't want him to know he still has it.
No, Chris was, in all honesty, was like, he had been gigging professionally, for a while. Yeah. And
did Chris start with the Campbell Boys, or was he doing a solo thing?
Well, we had him on the podcast. You don't remember?
I don't remember, dude. Every time
he was doing his solo thing first.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he was DJing.
Yeah. Yeah. Then he did. I'm not even gonna. I feel like playing this one.
Breaking news.
Somebody come get her. He's messing with my dinner.
Mom's listening to the podcast doing.
That's funny. Anyway.
But like, I hadn't done a gig in years.
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, hey, like, I don't want to do this by myself. You want to come and do this with me? And he was like, absolutely, let's do it. And yeah, that, like, right there is, you know, was awesome. Plus the fact that, like, we had a very similar taste in music. Mm-hmm. He knew a lot of the same songs as I did. He really, like, I got to give him a lot of kudos.
Now I have more questions.
Oh, good.
If that's okay. What kind of guitar do you use, or do you have more than one that you rotate?
My original gigging guitar was a Guild. I don't know. Wasn't a very expensive Guild, but it was a nice Guild. It was a great guitar. And then I bought Taylor 517E.
Oh, all right.
And this was what in their Builder's Edition series. The thing that sold it for me was the nut is slightly larger than a typical acoustic. And I have stupid long fingers.
Yeah.
So when I'm playing chords, my fingers are always getting bunched up. And this just spreads it out just a little bit. And it makes it slightly more comfortable to play. And I was like, oh my God, this guitar was like made for me. The body is a kind of a dreadnought, but a small dreadnought.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday, good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details. Four seasons, greetings to you.
a thing. It had all the electronics and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I played it. I loved it. Next to my wife, I would buy it. Okay.
You're like, honey, I'm going to sign up for a credit card. They're doing no interest.
Buy
for
now, pay later. 18
took months.
It, took it home. Shouldn't say this. Immediately regretted buying it.
Oh, no.
Like, I'm the kind of guy that is just like, I get excited. And then I was like, what did I just do? Like,
yeah. Oh, my God. Just the money wise or the way it played?
Kind of money wise.
Yeah. Buyer's remorse.
I always have buyer's remorse. This is just me. I got used to the sound.
Yeah.
And I was like, and so I've been playing that professionally, like with what I'm doing now. Ever since.
So it's so good. Paid for itself.
It has paid for itself.
And now it's time for...
We practice this, guys. I say this part. It's this or that.
This or that.
I'm going to add the bed at the end, post-production.
Do whatever you want. You're like God.
Yes. Don't you ever forget that.
No.
I mean, he said it.
So there's no music now?
No, but I can put a bed underneath if you want.
It's all right. It's all right.
But I've got good bed
music. It's
just
more fun. It like creates the atmosphere. It's all good.
Like a game show.
All right. So these questions are
going to get boring instead.
No. Come on. We did this with it's all good. It was just all very dry.
What the fuck, dude? I can give you a bed if you want a bed.
So the questions. Oh. Wow.
I like that.
Oh, hey, baby.
All right, now I want to change all the questions.
This or that question.
I'm going to make them sexy.
This is for the OnlyFans site?
Yeah.
When you strum your guitar, are you an up or a down? All right, so these are in no particular order, but there is kind of a little bit of a progression, kind of, sort of. So Cutaway or Dreadnought?
Dreadnought.
Yeah?
Yeah, I actually avoid Cutaways.
Why?
I can't. I don't do anything up there.
When you play, are there any moments where you might play like a solo-esque kind of thing that the Cutaway might help?
The highest thing I would ever play is something like Today by Smashing Pumpkins, that intro riff.
Okay.
And
how far do you go up on the
fretboard? All the way, and like I can do just fine with Cutaway. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Dreadnought.
Yeah. I actually avoid the Dreadnought. Yeah.
So I didn't do.
The Cutaway.
Right.
The Cutaway.
Yeah. So we talked on the break about lyrics or flow. I'm going to ask lyrics or melody. Like, are you listening more to like what we talked about? Kind of like those, I guess, moments with the music that kind of take you away with the song, or are you listening more to the lyrics?
It's like a 90-10 or an 80-20 toward melody.
Okay.
That's the way the lyrics hit the melody.
You need something to make your foot tap.
Yeah, something like that. It needs to fit. I mean, of course, there's songs that's like, wow, like lyrics are, that's great. But that doesn't hit me as hard as the way like the words hit the.
Yeah. And Tim, you were saying you think lyrics more for you.
Yeah, I think it depends on music genre, but yeah, I think lyrics.
Yeah, bacon.
Flow.
Progressive.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Yeah. Well done, Carrie.
Standing by.
They're watching.
Yep. Yeah, they are.
Are you, Carrie, are you a walk or a run kind of person? Walk or run?
Is there an option for no physical activity?
Yeah. I would probably go to
introspective bacon.
Oh, sorry.
Introspective.
Yeah, walk. I'm not a particularly fast mover.
He's walking over here.
Yeah, I'm walking here.
He's walking here. All right. Free candy or free puppy?
Yeah, I'm not a huge maybe free puppy.
So that's what would get you into the van?
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, maybe. And we don't have animals, but yeah, I'm still an animal. So
yeah.
That's good.
Not knowing you at all personally, right? Obviously knowing that you play music and you play out. So I don't know what you pay attention to. And we talk about Blue Sky. We talk about X. We talk about, you know, Instagram, different ways that TikTok. We ingest social media, TikTok. Are you more of an Access Hollywood or TMZ kind of guy? Or do you just not even pay attention to any of it?
I don't think I have enough information to know the difference.
No.
To be honest. The only thing I know about TMZ is they tend to be kind of sensational about stuff.
Sure. So I'm like, look, we saw this guy coming out of the convenience store. And it's like, he's just trying to get some milk, bro. Yeah. It's late.
So I might shy away from that. But
trying to get some milk, bro.
I don't know if that puts me in the Access Hollywood camp.
Sure.
So, okay. Yeah, that's a really hard one.
What would be a good one then? Are you, do you follow, what sensational news, what might you follow, if not entertainment TV?
Something from NPR. Like that's
NPR?
All right.
Yeah. That is cool. Probably my.
I'm Steve Inskeep.
Yeah, yeah, very, yeah. Like all my podcasts are like something that probably shows up on WAMU. Except for Podcast Envy, of course.
Of course, yes. Of course. Yes. We are the one exception.
You, absolutely.
Yeah. We are the one and only.
I listened to you guys. I obviously heard about you guys through Chris and you guys. And fantastic podcast.
Thanks, man.
Like,
isn't it fun?
All honesty, like, it's obviously a nice conversation that you guys have with your guests. And which is a big reason why I listen to a bunch of them. I've not listened to all of them, but
that's okay.
I have listened to a bunch
of them.
There. And they're really good. And
thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm
it
really,
means a lot.
I'm honestly,
it's really him. Bacon just makes us sound good.
No, I'm honestly honored to be here.
I mean, I really appreciate that feedback. I mean, I love hearing that people listen to our show. I think that's great. And I love it. Thank you.
Yeah. Brian's right. I mean, it's all Bacon. Bacon puts it all together. He makes it happen. He makes us sound great.
He's always trying to figure out new ways to make things better. I mean, look at us. We're sitting on cushions now. This is great.
Yeah. No. And you guys are what, like fourth in Virginia or something? Like,
yeah, we're fourth in Virginia.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Striving for number one, baby. Yep.
We're going to get there.
Not at all. Yeah, not at all surprised. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
That means a lot.
Yeah.
How many more do you want to do?
I'll do as many
Give me
as
a
long.
Random number. I got like seven more.
You've got like 2 minutes left.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good. You want to get weird?
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
It's about to get weird.
Rory McIlroy or Rory... I can't even say it.
Rory.
Rory McIlroy or Rory...
Roy.
Roy McAvoy. God damn.
Who are those people?
That was hard to get through.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
What's sad about this... I know the difference between those two.
Yeah,
and
you do.
And I don't know which is which.
so one's real, one's on film.
I know.
The latter is on film.
I know.
And the one latter. You saw in the U.S. Open.
The one.
And
the,
it reminded you of the other one.
Right. I start like when he started playing in the U.S. Open, it's like, what? Like, this name is so familiar. Like, I don't understand. And then I realized Tin Cup.
Yeah.
Like I've seen it like a thousand times.
Yeah. Yep.
And yeah, so yes, I actually don't know which is which. That's sad for me.
Are you team Kevin Costner or what?
I'm going to go team Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right.
Nothing against Rory, but
I saw that post and I was like, all right, Brian, this would be perfect for this or that.
Yeah. So on that vein, Sportsport. My God, I can't talk. I got all these Rorys in my vein. Sports bar or dive bar?
Probably dive bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do like a good dive bar.
You just like the good hometown crowd, people having a good time.
Better food.
Could be anything, maybe, yeah.
I love to travel and I like to find the places that are kind of local and that kind of thing. I watch some sports. I'm a huge sports fan. But the kind of the dive bar, getting the local feel.
Sure.
Big fan of that. Yeah.
Get some good recommendations kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. We're always all over the internet looking for what's hot work.
Yeah. So I got one final question.
Okay.
When you come out to see us at Jimmy's on Monday.
Yeah.
St. Patrick's Day. What are you going to get?
Ooh.
Car bomb?
No.
Guinness.
I've done.
Can we do a car bomb together?
We can do a car bomb together. Yeah, I'd probably go toward like Harp or Smittix.
Smittix, yeah.
Yeah. That's yeah. Guinness, fine. But
they'll take care of you.
You know they say that like Guinness is better in Ireland. And I was like,
it's just room temperature.
And then I went to Ireland and no, it actually
is it really that good?
It really like there's it to me, it's like if you've ever had Boddington's.
Mm-mm. I have,
In this country it's like having Boddington.
Yeah.
Like Boddington's and here and Guinness there.
Yeah.
It's very similar.
Wow. Yeah.
There's a bitterness to the Guinness here that doesn't happen there.
Okay.
I don't know.
Hmm.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much for
Carrie,
joining the pod.
Let's do a quick cheers at the end of the rainbow.
Guys, thanks so much.
Exactly. Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for hanging with us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely check out Carrie on his socials. Check out some upcoming shows that he has. And Brian, as you always do, can you please...
On the way out, grab some of Bacon's nuts and take us home!
This podcast was produced and engineered by Michael Bacon in cooperation with Revelry Media Productions. Video provided by Brian Johnson, also known as AzureVox. Please like and subscribe to stay up to date on our latest episodes. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at podcastrnv and on TikTok at podcast.nv. Send us your thoughts over email at feedback@podcastnv.com. See you soon.
This is Podcast NV.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.